So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, text number 10. Ravaresham Bhagavan Vritani
Ravaresham Bhagavan Vritani
Shrutani me vyasa mukhadha pikshanam
Shrutani me vyasa mukhadha
pikshanam Atripnima shula sukhavahanam Te shamrite Krishna katam mitoghat. Para. Haya. Avaresham. Of these lower. Bhagavan. O my Lord. O great one. Vritani. Occupations. Shrutani. Heard. Me, by me, Vyasa, Vyasa, Mukhat, from the mouth, Abhikshnam, repeatedly, Atripnuma, I am satisfied, Shula, little, Sukha Avahanam, that which causes happiness. Tesham, out of that. Rite, without. Krishna Kata, talks about the personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna. Amrita Oghat, Amrita Oghat, from the nectar. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about these higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasadeva, and I am quite satiated with all these lesser subject matters and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of topics about Krishna. Translation responsively. O my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about these higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasadeva. And I am quite satiated with all these lesser subject matters and their happiness. They have not satisfied me with the nectar of topics about Krishna. Because people are very much interested in hearing social and historical presentations, Srila Vyasadeva has compiled many books, such as the Puranas and Mahabharata. These books are reading matter for the mass of people, and they were compiled with a view to reviving their God consciousness, now forgotten in the conditional life of material existence. The real purpose of such literatures is not so much to present topics of historical references, but to revive the people's sense of God consciousness. For example, Mahabharata is the history of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and common people read it because it is full of topics regarding the social, political, and economic problems of human society. But factually, the most important part of Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita, which is automatically taught to readers along with the historical narrations of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Vidura explained to Maitreya his position of being fully satiated with the knowledge of mundane social and political topics and having no more interest in them. He was anxious to hear transcendental topics regarding Lord Sri Krishna. Because there were insufficient topics directly concerning Krishna in the Puranas, Mahabharata and so on, he was not satisfied and wanted to know more about Krishna. Krishna Katha, or topics regarding Krishna, are transcendental, and there is no satiation in hearing such topics. Bhagavad Gita is important on account of its being Krishna Katha, or speeches delivered by Lord Krishna. The story of the Battle of Kurukshetra may be interesting for the mass of people, but to a person like Vidura, who is hardly advanced in devotional service, only Krishna Katha and that which is dovetailed with Krishna Katha is interesting. Vidura wanted to hear of everything from Maitreya, and so he inquired from him, but he desired that all the topics be in relationship with Krishna. As fire is never satisfied in its consumption of firewood, so a pure devotee of the Lord never hears enough about Krishna. Historical events and other narrations concerning social and political incidents all become transcendental as soon as they are in relationship with Krishna. That is the way to transform mundane things into spiritual identity. The whole world can be transformed into Vaikuntha if all worldly activities are dovetailed with Krishna Katha. There are two important Krishna Kathas current in the world, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Katha because it is spoken by Krishna, whereas Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Katha because it narrates about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advised all his disciples to preach Krishna Katha all over the world without discrimination, because the transcendental value of Krishna Katha can purify one and all from material contamination. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Sahagana Raghunathan Dvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vichakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivatari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So today we're hearing from Vidura again, putting further inquiries to Maitreya Muni. So yesterday we were hearing from Aniruddhapuri. He asked Maitreya about how the Lord Narayan has differently created all the different living creatures. So these topics about creation. Also, the material scientists are very much interested in the material creation, but when we hear from them, it's very dry. So it's just looking at the material elements and trying to figure out their source. And there's no connection to Lord Narayan. So Vidura was careful to inquire about such topics of the creation, but he wanted them in relation to the Creator, Lord Narayan, and Lord Krishna. So this is also important for us when we're studying such topics of and sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, that everything should be seen in its connection to Lord Krishna and how it's related, how this creation was manifested by him, how that happened, and therefore we're increasing our knowledge of Krishna and our understanding of him so that we can become more attracted to him. His opulence, his great power and so on. But it says here in the purport that devotees like Vidura, But to a person like Vidura, who's highly advanced in devotional service, only Krishna Katha and that which is dovetailed with Krishna Katha is interesting. So therefore, he's saying that he's satiated with those topics about the how the different living entities were created by Narayana. And he wants to hear direct topics about Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada's explaining about the Puranas and the Mahabharata. That these are topics for the common masses. So in the first canto of Bhagavatam, we hear about how originally the Veda was one, and the Veda became divided into the four Vedas that we know of, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva. And then also, because these Vedas are containing a lot of philosophical points and information, which is not possible. Actually, it's described in that section that the less intelligent classes of people, Shudras and friends of the Brahmanas who are not actually qualified as Brahmanas, cannot understand the Vedas. So there's actually a qualification to approach the Vedas, not that anyone can just pick up the Rig Veda and understand it. This is sort of the mood in materialistic society that any person, any Joe Blow, low class person can go to university and try to understand and understand very elevated subjects. But of course, anyone, as long as there's sufficient training and education, then someone can approach the Vedas. But for people who haven't had that training, then the fifth Veda was created, and that is the Mahabharata and the Puranas, which contain all the philosophy of the Vedas, but in the form of historical narrations. So, and then, as we hear in today's purport, that the most important section of the Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita, which contains all that. And the Bhagavad Gita itself is the essence of all the Vedas. So therefore, the essence of the Vedas is in that narration, which is meant for the less qualified people. Prabhupada makes a nice statement in that first canto that the less intelligent are more interested in stories than in philosophy, and therefore the philosophy of the Vedas in the form of Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Lord Sri Krishna. Vyasadeva and Lord Krishna are both on the transcendental plane, and therefore they collaborated in doing good to the fallen souls of this age. So, so there we get, again, maybe I was mentioning last time, you get the sense of Lord Krishna's mercy and on us, and Srila Vyasadeva and the literary incarnation of God, their mercy on the fallen souls of this age, that they conspired and collaborated to help us by putting that Bhagavad Gita in the Mahabharata. And that verse about is, there's a verse describing about the Mahabharata in the first canto again. It says that Srila Vyasadeva, out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled the great historical narration called the Mahabharata for women, labourers and friends of the twice born. In other words, people who haven't undergone training to understand the Vedas directly. So the Lord is very compassionate. And these historical narrations may have happened many, many years ago. For example, the pastime of Lord Nrisimhadeva, which is in the Bhagavad Purana, this Purana, happened in Satyuga many millions of years ago. And also Lord Ram appeared in Dwapara Yuga. I think that's correct. Not changing. Dwapara Yuga, which is also many thousands of years ago. So they're more historical narrations rather than just, how to say, different from the history that we see that's taught nowadays, that's a chronological narration of events, like on such and such a date the atomic bomb was dropped on Japan, and then in this date the Cold War started, and it's just kind of a chronological progression, but the narrations in the Puranas are historical narrations from practically anywhere in history. So therefore, when the common people read Mahabharata, then they also learn through Bhagavad Gita that they are the spirit soul within the body, that they shouldn't be attached to the fruits of their work, which generally people are. And then they learn about who actually Krishna is. They've been hearing about Krishna in the Mahabharata, because it's the history of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and Krishna is talked about so much. But in Bhagavad Gita, they actually find out the real position of Krishna, that he is the Supreme Lord. And so on. So all this is giving the opportunity to the lower classes to attain spiritual salvation. And so also today, Vidura is saying he's very satiated, he's satisfied hearing these lesser subject matters about the creation of the living entities, and he wants to be those topics haven't touched on the topics about Krishna, which is what he's desiring, what he's yearning after, to hear about Krishna, because one who understands their relationship, their intimate relationship with Krishna, and then their subordinate position to Krishna and their position of servitorship to Krishna, naturally wants to hear more about him. In a few previous verses, Vidura said that our minds are never satisfied completely, although we continuously hear of his transcendental activities. So this is a contrast. We see that he's never satisfied hearing about Krishna, but he's fully satiated hearing about the lesser subject matters. So mundane subject matters cannot satisfy the soul. So we can hear about so many cricket matches and politics, and they don't satisfy us. But the secret here that Prabhupada is giving us, he explains in the purport that let's find that sentence. Prabhupada says that is the way to transform mundane things into spiritual identity. The whole world can be transformed into Vaikuntha if all worldly activities are dovetailed with Krishna Katha. So I just found out I'd give class yesterday, so I didn't have too much time to prepare, but Krishna is also always very nice, that can inspire us to talk about something and help us in that way. So this statement that, because even for devotees, it's not that we're on the transcendental plane. There's also, in our whatever ashram, we're in brahmachari or grihastha or sannyas, there's sort of many apparently mundane things that we have to do. And but the devotee's consciousness is... they're not averse to doing those activities just because they appear to be mundane. So they know this art of That is the way to transform mundane things into spiritual identity. So if we see all our duties in connection to Krishna, then and we perform them for his pleasure, then they lose that mundane aspect and they can become, you know, somewhat relishable. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 3, verse 18, that a self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. So, practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, we may start to think that, oh, these material duties and are not necessary for us now. We're practicing spiritual life. As it says here, that we may think we have no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of our prescribed duties. We nothing to gain from discharging our duties in our particular ashram. You know, where the goal of life is to attain love of Krishna, so why do I need to do these other lesser things? But then it also, Krishna also says that nor has he any reason not to perform such work. So as the aversion to such material duties, so-called apparently material duties, aversion to those is just the opposite side of attachment. So it's not any different, it's on the same coin. So we don't have any reason not to perform our duties. And in the Vedic Varnashram system, people do their duties, you know, with some desires, with material desires to enjoy the fruits of those activities. But devotees are trying to develop a different consciousness that instead of doing all our activities, you know, separately from Krishna and then offering the fruits to Krishna, devotees try to develop a consciousness of giving everything to Krishna from the very start. So their activities are not to get anything for themselves, but just to please Krishna. And then, of course, the fruits are also given to Krishna, but it's not that they are desiring the fruits and then they'll give them to Krishna. Actually, they have no desire, no attachment to the fruits of their work, and they just do their duties to please Krishna. So therefore, they're not you know, distressed or perplexed by having to perform so many duties in the world, that you know, we have, you know, there's nothing to achieve by these duties, but there's no reason not to do them either. Anything can be done for Krishna's pleasure. So this is the you know, the vision of a devotee, that they can, of course, hearing and chanting directly about Krishna is the ideal, and but also whatever activities a devotee is doing can be done for Krishna's pleasure, as long as it's authorized by the spiritual authorities, spiritual master, and other more experienced devotees. As long as their activities are authorized, then they can do those for Krishna's pleasure. And then, as Prabhupada says, that by doing this, then the whole world can be transformed into Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. So, you know, people have so much anxiety just trying to get on in the world and, you know, make money and do their activities and, you know, have enough food and shelter, and causes a lot of anxiety. It's a lot of material nature. The nature of the material world makes everything difficult, not simple. So even, you know, devotees, we can notice this, that we try to do so many things and it becomes very difficult just because of that's the nature of material energy, Durga. But that difficulty, you know, if we're not attached, then there's no difficulty. If it's just doing it as a matter of duty to please Krishna, then that can take away the anxiety. The whole world is transformed into Vaikuntha. So the last point Prabhupada makes in this purport about the two types of Krishna katas, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says that Lord Chaitanya advised all his disciples to preach Krishna katha all over the world without discrimination, because the transcendental value of Krishna katha can purify one and all from material contamination. So this is a relevant, very particularly relevant statement to today. We're starting the book marathon for 1 month, and this was Prabhupada's a transcendental vehicle that he used to really increase the mercy of Lord Chaitanya by profusely distributing books. And for people that are able to go out on books, then there's an interesting here that he says we should preach Krishna katha all over the world without discrimination. So this requires some spiritual vision that we sometimes we'll do book distribution and see, like someone was saying to me the other day, that they were giving out cards, and he thought that people that are dressed, just in a suit and tie and just going about their business, they never take a card, which is maybe true, but on book distribution we can't have this vision of just seeing the externals. We have to see there's a soul inside each person, and they need spiritual knowledge. So of course conditioning in some people may be more or less, but still we have to make that endeavour to approach anyone without discrimination. I think Gopa Vrindesh talks about this sometimes. He does book distribution at this time of year, and he says it's just like continuous, like you just from one person to the other, not seeing who it is, just hi, how are you today? Are you from Melbourne? And whoever it is, just try to stop that person and give them some spiritual knowledge. And even if they don't appreciate it, at least if they take a book, then they can, then that book is out there. That book is somewhere floating around, and you don't know who it's going to bump into, who Krishna will arrange for it to fall into the hands of. May not be the person you actually give it to that reads it, but we hear many stories of devotees who pick up a Bhagavad Gita in a second-hand bookshop and then become devotees from that and go to find out their local ISKCON centre. And in this way, Prabhupada describes that this Krishna katha has transcendental value. So, we ask for about, $15 or something for a Bhagavad Gita, but people don't realise, even we ourselves may not realise actually how much value these books have, the knowledge that's in them. Knowledge that is so powerful enough to end millions of lifetimes of suffering in the material world. So if someone, takes it up and hears from devotees more and gradually takes it up seriously, hearing and chanting about Krishna, then that $15 investment is practically, you know, nothing compared to what they can attain by the association of devotees and, you know, experiencing transcendental happiness that they're hankering for, and so on. So people, you know, many of us in the congregation or in Melbourne's temple's congregation won't directly go out and books. Although still some many householders do, they distribute books at their workplace. You know, just show someone some small book like Chant and Be Happy, or try to explain people the benefits of meditation, for example. Everyone's very stressed out, so you can say to people, you know, you can reduce your stress levels by this method of meditation, and you know, can give out other small books. Beyond Birth and Death, I think, was the first small book I read, and of course, these small books are pretty much, they're just quoting all verses from Bhagavad Gita, so which is Krishna Katha. So Prabhupada's just taking some few select verses from Bhagavad Gita, maybe from chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge about Ananya Bhakti, and he'll present, you know, for example, Rajavijja, the king of knowledge. So even these small books have immense potency. So devotees can distribute them at their workplace or to random people they meet. And also we can support those devotees who are engaged in book distribution. You know, morally we can talk to see how they're going, those devotees who are on books, and giving encouragement. And you know, purchasing books that can then be distributed by others and so on. Because as we know, there's ISKCON, we're in the Sankirtan movement. So Sankirtan is complete kirtan. So when it said that in our preaching movement, books are the basis, it doesn't only mean that book distribution is the only thing that we do, but the basis of our preaching is the knowledge in the books. So whatever we're trying to, whatever preaching endeavours we make are based on the books. And it may be book distribution, maybe other activities. So the, as long as everything is pushed toward that, helping books go out, as it said, that the, as long as the wheels on the train are moving, then that's also assisting. And if you can have a go, if you can go out with someone on a weekend or something, then that's also a good experience. Prabhupada says here that the transcendental value of Krishna Katha can purify one and all from material contamination. So this is our, you know, where all our intelligence and strategy and planning has to go in how to connect people to this Krishna Katha, because it doesn't matter who they are, but it's one and all can be purified from their material contamination of identifying with their gross and subtle bodies, and they can understand themselves that they're a spirit soul separate from the body and mind, and that they have a transcendental relationship with the Supreme Lord. So I'll leave it there. See if there's any comments or questions. We're finishing early today for the marathon. Okay, I'll leave it there. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.